While the cat's away, Julie Mayer presents a Cat's Whiskers Summer Special.
Yes, Julie Mayer with you once again, and while the cat's away this week, we've more fun for you. We'll be joining Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy in the second episode of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. We've had Narnia and postcard competitions, giving you the opportunity to win your own set of The Chronicles of Narnia. And we'll have the birthday greetings for our Cat's Whiskers Club members. Shortly, our C.S. Lewis expert Brian Sibley will be setting the three competition questions. But right now, let's join the four children on another adventure in the land of Narnia. Here's Maurice Denham with part two of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
The four Pevensey children, Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy, had been sent away from London because of the war, and had come to stay at my house in the country. It's a rambling old place, and in one of the many rooms was an old wardrobe. I'd almost forgotten it, but it had been made out of a tree that had grown for an apple core I'd brought back from the land of Narnia when I was a boy. Anyway, Lucy had got into Narnia through this wardrobe and met a fawn called Mr. Tumnus, but the others didn't believe her. And then Edmund had found his way there and had met the Queen of Narnia, who gave him enchanted Turkish delight and persuaded him to bring his brother and sisters to see her.
Susan! Peter! Susan! Where are you?
What's up with Lucy?
She's pretty excited about something. We're in here, Lou.
I'm glad I found you.
I'd hardly say you found us. The idea of hiding
Lucy, what is it?
It's all true. It really is.
Hello, everybody. Game over.
It seems that way. But go on, Lou.
It's there. There is a country you can get to through the wardrobe. Edmund and I both got in. We met one another in there, in the woods, didn't we? Go on, Edmund. Tell them about it.
What's all this about, Ed?
Oh, well.
Tell us, Ed.
Well, Lucy and I have been playing, pretending that story of hers about a country in the wardrobe was true.
But Edmund!
Just for fun, of course. There's nothing there, really. I mean, how could there be?
Edmund! Oh, wait a minute, Lou!
There she goes again. That's the worst of young kids. Stay away.
Shut up, Ed.
Peter, do you think we ought to tell the professor, in case Lou's not very well?
That's why Susan and I thought we should come and talk to you, Professor Kirk.
Ah, well, let me ask you both a question. What is it that makes you disbelieve Lucy's story?
Edmund said they'd only been pretending.
Yeah, but tell me, who would you say was usually the more truthful? Your brother or your sister?
That's what's so odd. Up until now, I'd have said Lucy every time.
Mm-hmm. And Susan?
Same as Peter. But this couldn't be true. I'm in a land inside a wardrobe.
Well, you see, there are only three possibilities. Either your sister is telling lies, or she's mad.
Mad?
Or she's telling the truth.
What do you mean?
Well, now, you know she doesn't tell lies, and it's obvious she's not mad. For the moment, then, unless any further evidence turns up, we must assume that Lucy is telling the truth.
But even if there was such a place, Lucy had no time to go anywhere. She came running after us the very moment we were out of the room. It was less than a minute. And she pretended to have been away for hours.
Ah, well, exactly. And that is the very thing that makes her story likely to be true. If there really is a door in this house that leads to some other world, and if Lucy had found her way there into that world, I shouldn't be at all surprised to find that the other world had a separate time of its own.
A separate time, Professor?
Yes. Maybe, however long you stayed there, it would never take up any of our time. On the other hand, I don't think many girls of her age would invent that idea for themselves.
You mean, if she was pretending,
mm-hmm.
she would have hidden for a reasonable time before coming out and telling her story?
Precisely.
But do you really believe that there could be other worlds all over the place, just around the corner, like that?
Well, nothing is more probable.
But what are we to do?
Well, I think we might all try minding our own business. Oh, by the way, there's a party from the local historical society coming to see the house tomorrow. Now, Mrs. MacReady will be taking the round, so perhaps you'd better do your best not to get under their feet. Now, much the best thing if you keep out of the way.
I wish I could try this on. I've always fancied being a knight in armour. The great Sir Peter riding off to fight another heroic battle.
You'd be lucky, it's too big for you. What we could do is see if we can take it to bits.
Look out, here comes McCreen, a whole gang with her.
Come on, we'll go through the library.
But the children seem to find themselves being followed everywhere.
Here they come again.
Where now?
Here, let's get into the wardrobe room till they've passed. No one will follow us in here.
Want a bed?
Oh, do be quiet, Edmund.
See?
There's nowhere else. Into the wardrobe.
Can't you move over a bit, Susan? I'm just as uncomfortable as you are.
For goodness sake, both of you, be quiet or they'll hear us.
I wish they'd go away. Oh, I'm getting cramped. So am I, thanks to you. Oh, and what's that awful smell?
Mothballs. I expect the pockets of these coats are full of them.
There's something sticking into my back.
And isn't it cold?
Now you mention it, yes. It is cold. And it's wet too. What's the matter with this wardrobe?
Let's get out. They've gone.
Oh, what's wrong, Susan?
What's up now?
What is it?
I'm sitting against a tree.
And look, it's getting light over there.
So it is. And look there and there, trees.
And this wet stuff, snow.
So why? I do believe we've got into Lucy's wood after all. Have we, Lou?
Yes, this is it.
I'm really sorry I didn't believe you, Lou. Forgive me.
Of course. What do we do now?
Do? Why, go and explore the wood, of course.
Oh, it's so cold. What about putting on some of these coats?
Well, they're not ours.
Oh, I'm sure no one would mind. It isn't as if we wanted to take them out of the house. We shan't even be taking them out of the wardrobe.
I never thought of that. Come on, then.
We can pretend we're Arctic explorers.
This is going to be exciting enough without pretending. Let's start, shall we?
Just a minute. Ought we be bearing a bit more to the left? That is, if we were aiming for the lamppost.
So,
Edmund,
you really were here.
Well, what if I was?
But fancy making out Lucy was telling lies.
Where are we going anyway?
I think Lou ought to be the leader. Goodness knows she deserves it. Where will you take us, Lou?
What about going to see Mr. Tumnus? He's the nice fawn I told you about.
Good idea.
Lead the way then, Lucy. Come on, Edmund, try and keep up.
So off they set, walking briskly and stamping their feet. At first, Lucy wondered whether she'd be able to find the way, but she recognised an odd-looking tree in one place and a stump in another, and brought them at last to the very door of Mr. Tumnus's cave. But there, a terrible surprise awaited them.
Phew, somebody certainly had a go at this place. The door's smashed off its hinges.
Go inside.
Mind how you go, Lou. It's awfully dark.
There's been a fire. Somebody's burnt all the furniture.
And all Mr. Tumnus's lovely books.
And there's broken china everywhere.
That's the tea service he used when I came to tea. Oh, dear. No.
What is it? It's only a picture of some other old character.
It's Mr. Tumnus's father.
Somebody slashed it to shreds with a knife.
Well, I must say, this is a washout.
Hello, what's this? It's a letter or something. Nailed right through the carpet to the floor.
What's it say?
I can't read it in this light. Let's get out in the open.
Well, it was a waste of time coming here.
Oh, do give over, Ed.
What does it say, Peter?
The former occupant of these premises, the Fawn Tumnus, is under arrest and awaiting his trial on a charge of high treason against Her Imperial Majesty, Jadis, Queen of Narnia, Chatelaine of Caer Paravel, Empress of the Lone Islands. Also a charge of comforting her said Majesty's enemies, harbouring spies, and fraternising with humans. Morgrim, Captain of the Secret Police. Long live the Queen.
Oh, I don't know I'm going to like this place after all.
Who's Queen Jadis, Lou?
She isn't a real queen at all. She's a horrible witch, the White Witch. It's all on my account that poor Mr. Tumnus has got into trouble. He hid me from the witch and showed me the way back. We simply must try to rescue him.
A lot we could do when we haven't even got anything to eat.
Shut up, Ed. What do you think, Susan?
I don't want to go on, and I wish we'd never come. But I've a horrid feeling that she's right.
That's what I feel, too. I'd suggest we went back and got some food. Only I'm not sure we'd get into this country again once we got out of it. I think we'll have to go on. If only we knew where Mr. Tomlis was imprisoned.
Look, there's a robin. It's the first bird I've seen here. I wonder if birds can talk in Narnia. It almost looks as if it wanted to say something to us. Please, can you tell us where Tomlis the Fawn has been taken to?
Congratulations! Now you've frightened him off.
He's only flown to the next tree.
I think he means us to follow him.
I've an idea. He does. What do you think, Peter?
Well, we might as well try it.
The robin appeared to understand the matter thoroughly. It kept going from tree to tree, always a few yards ahead of them, but always so near that they could easily follow it. And in this way, they travelled on for about half an hour.
Peter, how do we know which side that bird is on? Why shouldn't it be leading us into a trap?
I'm sure a robin wouldn't be on the wrong side.
If it comes to that, which is the wrong side? How do we know the fawns are in the right and the queen is in the wrong? We don't really know anything about either.
The fawn said Lucy.
He said he did, but how do we know that? And there's another thing. Has anyone the least idea of the way home from here?
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, no!
What's the matter, Lou?
The robin, it's flown away.
And now what do we do?
Shh! Look!
What?
There's something moving among the trees over there to the left.
Where?
There! It goes again.
I saw it that time too. It's still there, behind that big tree.
What is it?
Whatever it is, it's something that doesn't want to be seen.
But what's it like?
It's some kind of animal.
Look, quick, there it is.
I know what it is. It's a beaver. I saw the tail.
It's holding its paw up to its lips, as if warning us not to make a noise.
Now it's beckoning to us.
It wants us to go with it.
I know. The question is, are we going to? What do you think, Lou?
I think it's a nice beaver.
Yes, but how do we know?
Well, we have to risk it.
Further in. Come further in. Right in here. We're not safe in the open.
Come on, let's give it a try. All keep close together. We ought to be a match for one beaver if it turns out to be an enemy.
Only when it had led them into a dark spot where the trees grew close together did the beaver begin to talk to them.
Are you the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve?
I suppose so, at least with some of them.
Shh! Not so loud, please. We're not safe even here.
Why? What are you afraid of? There's no one here but ourselves.
There are the trees.
Yes.
They're always listening. Most of them are on our side, but there are trees that would betray us to her. You know who I mean.
If we're talking about sides, how do we know you're a friend?
I'm not meaning to be rude, Mr. Beaver. But you see, we're strangers.
Quite right. Here is my token.
Oh, of course. It's my handkerchief, the one I gave to poor Mr. Tumnus.
That's right. Poor fellow. He got wind of the arrest and he gave this to me. He said if anything happened to him, I must meet you here and take you to...
To who, Mr. Beaver?
Shh. They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps has already landed.
Now a very curious thing happened. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside them. Edmund felt a sensation of mysterious horror. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if beautiful music had just floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up and realize it's the beginning of the holidays.
What about poor Mr. Tucker?
Not here. I must take you all to where we can have a real talk and also some dinner. Will you come?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Beaver.
Right. Follow me and keep together. Be as quiet as you can.
They hurried along behind the beaver who led them through the thickest parts of the forest for over an hour. Everyone was beginning to feel very tired and very hungry when suddenly they came out under the open sky. and found themselves looking down into a steep, narrow valley.
What a beautiful place.
It's more beautiful in the spring when the river isn't frozen. But then, it hasn't been spring in Narnia for many years.
There's a dam. Did you make that, Mr. Beaver?
Merely a trifle. Merely a trifle. And it isn't really finished.
It's lovely. Is that your home on top?
It is. And if that smoke is anything to go by, I'd say Mrs. Beaver is expecting us. I'll lead the way.
We're right behind you, Mr. Beaver. Ed, what are you staring at?
Those two small hills over there.
I want a nice boy whom I could bring up as a prince and who would be king of Narnia when I am gone.
Come on, Ed, don't dawdle.
Well now, here we are. Come inside, everyone. I found them, Mrs. Beaver.
Oh, my dear.
Here are the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve.
So you've come at last.
At last. Oh, to think I should have lived to see this day. Dearie me sitting here at my sewing machine, what must you think?
Don't fuss, Mrs. Beaver.
Don't fuss, he says, as if this wasn't one of the most important days in the whole history of Narnia.
Mrs. Beaver, they are tired and cold and hungry.
Well, of course they are. Now come along in. Get those coats off. Warm yourselves. Everything's ready. I dare say you're hungry.
We are starving.
Of course you must be. Well, we've got fresh trout.
Oh,
and boiled potatoes for dinner, followed by marmalade rolls.
My favorite.
I hope it'll be to your liking.
It sounds wonderful.
Thank you, Mrs. Beaver.
Well, then come to the table, then, and I'll dish up.
Now, can anybody eat any more?
Not me. No. I'm completely full.
So am I, Miss. Me too, but that was a lovely meal, Mrs. Beaver, really.
Good. Well, then, I'll make us a nice pot of tea.
Good. After tea, we can get down to business.
Oh, it's coming on to snow again.
Oh, good.
Good.
Oh, good.
We shan't have any visitors. And if anyone should have been trying to follow us, why, he won't find any tracks.
Oh, that's it. Please, will you tell us what happened to dear Mr. Tumnus?
Ah, yes, that's a very, very bad business indeed. There's no doubt he was taken off by the police. I got that from a bird who saw it done.
But where's he been taken to?
Well, they were headed northwards when they were last seen. We all know what that means.
No, we don't.
I'm afraid it means they were taking him to the White Witch's house.
But what will they do to him, Mr. Beaver?
Well, you can't exactly say for sure.
All full of statues, they say her house is. In the courtyard, up the stairs, in the hall. People, she's turned into stone.
Stone?
Oh, no.
But can we? I mean, we must do something to save him.
Oh, I don't doubt you'd save him if you could, dearie. But you've no chance of getting into that house against her will and ever coming out again.
Alive.
But the fawn saved my sister at his own risk. We can't just leave him to have that done to him.
It's no good, son of Adam. It's no good you're trying, of all people. But now Aslan is on the move.
Oh, yes, do tell us about Aslan.
Who is Aslan?
Aslan? Why, don't you know?
No.
He's the king. He's the lord of the whole of Narnia. But not often here, you understand. Never in my time or my father's time. But the word is that he's come back. He's in Narnia at this moment. He'll settle the White Queen, all right. It is he, not you, that will save Mr. Tumnus.
How do you know she won't turn him in stone, too?
Lord love you, son of Adam. What a simple thing to say.
Turn him into stone.
If she can stand on her 2 feet and look him in the face, it'll be the most she can do, and more than I expect of her.
Don't you worry about Aslan. He'll put all to right. As it says in the old rhyme in these parts, wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth,
winter meets its death, and when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. You'll understand when you see him.
But shall we see him?
Why, daughter of Eve, that's what I brought you here for. I'm to lead you to where you shall meet him.
Is he a man?
Aslan a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he is a king of Narnia and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Aslan is a lion. The lion? The great lion.
I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion.
Oh, that you will, dearie, no mistake. If there is anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, whether either braver than most or else just silly.
Then he isn't safe.
Safe? Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you.
I'm longing to see him, even if I do feel frightened when it comes to the point.
That's right! And so you shall. Word has been sent that you are to meet him tomorrow, if you can, at the stone table.
Where's that?
Oh, it's down the river a good step from here. But I'll take you to it.
But meanwhile, what about poor Mr. Tumnus?
The quickest way you can help him is by going to meet Aslan once he's with us. Then we can begin doing things. Not that we don't need you, too. For that's another of the old rhymes. When Adam's flesh and Adam's bone sits at Cair Paravel enthroned, the evil time will be over and done.
Mrs. Beaver's right. Things must be drawing near their end. Now he's come, and you've come. We've heard of Aslan coming into these parts before. Long ago. Nobody can say when. But there's never been any of your race here. Not since the beginning.
Isn't the witch human?
She'd like us to believe it. And it's on that she bases her claim to be queen. But she hasn't got a drop of real human blood in her.
That's why she's bad all through, Mr. Beaver.
True enough, Mrs. Beaver. There may be two views about humans, meaning no offense to the present company. But there's no two views about things that look like humans and aren't.
I've known good dwarves.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah. Now you come to speak of it, but precious few. And they were the ones that were least like men. But in general, take my advice. When you meet anything that's going to be human and isn't yet, or used to be human once and isn't now, or ought to be human and isn't, you keep your eyes on it and you feel for your hatchet.
That's why the witch is always on the lookout for any humans in Narnia.
She's been watching for you this many a year. And if she knew that there were four of you, she'd be more dangerous still.
What's that got to do with it?
Because of another prophecy. Down at Cair Paravel, that's the castle on the sea coast, down at the mouth of this river, which ought to be the capital of the whole country, if all was as it should be. Anyway, down at Cair Paravel, there are four thrones.
And it's a saying in Narnia, time out of mind, that when two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve sit in those four thrones, then it will be the end not only of the White Witch's reign, but of her life.
And that's why we had to be so cautious as we came along. For if she knew about you four, your lives wouldn't be worth a shake of my whiskers.
I say, where's Edmund?
Who saw him last?
How long has he been missing?
Is he outside?
I don't know.
Let's take a look. He can't have gone far.
Yeah. Oh, dear, it's snowing heavy now.
Edmund! Edmund! Edmund!
Come back inside, my dears, while we think about what's to be done.
What on earth are we to do, Mr. Beaver?
Do? We must be off at once. We haven't a moment to spare. Fetch the snow boots, Mrs. Beaver.
And we'll need some food.
We'd better divide into four search parties and all go in different directions.
Search parties, son of Adam? What for?
To look for Edmund, of course.
Cool. There's no point in looking for him.
What do you mean?
He can't be far away yet.
The reason there's no use looking is that we already know where he's gone.
But where?
Don't you understand? He's gone to her. To the White Witch. He has betrayed us all.
Oh, dear. I hope Edmund doesn't tell the White Witch that the others are in Narnia, too. We'll have to wait until next week to find out. Right now, though, it's time for our Narnia competition. I'll be giving you the questions in a moment, but first, let's find out what last week's answers were from Brian Sibley.
Last week's questions were these. Who was the first character Lucy met in Narnia? Well, of course, that was Mr. Tumnus, the fawn. Which season did the White Witch make Narnia all year round? That was winter. And what did Lucy give to the first character she met before she returned to Spare Room? Well, she gave Mr. Tumnus her white hanky.
And the three winners are Gemma Hill from Halifax, David Connolly from York, and Sunil Adwani from West Lothian. Congratulations to you. You'll have lots of fun reading your very own sets of the Chronicles of Narnia. Now let's see how you get on with this week's questions.
Which of the girls was made leader when the children entered Narnia? Who did the children first hope to visit when they arrived in Narnia that time? And who was it that Mr. Beaver and his wife wanted the children to meet so urgently?
OK, all you need to do now is find yourself a postcard, make it a picture postcard if you like, and put your answers with your name and address clearly on the back. If you've got a pencil handy, the address is Cat's Whiskers Summer Special, BBC PO Box 40, Manchester M601FR. And I'll give that again to you at the end of the programme. It's also the address to write to if you'd like to tell us what you think of the serial, so let's have your comments. Now let's join our young actress Abigail Doherty, who plays Susan in our serial, and say happy birthday to our Cat's Whiskers Club members.
Many happy returns to David Goffin, Sarah Knapp, Christopher Manson, and Richard Tulick.
Kirk Vincent, Christine Johnston, Anna Crawford and Ruth Holohan.
Leonie Parkins, Jonathan Cedar, Fiona Roy and Maya O'Neill.
And Daniel McMahon, William Allen, Sarah May and Nagraj Narazansky.
Martin Brain, Adam Vintner, William Nelson and Catherine Nelson.
Anna Sharples, Catherine Trent, Jonathan Hamblin and Rachel Bland.
Matthew Pinney, Helen Gittins, Thomas Selms.
Angela Foster, Ruth Hayes, Thomas Curry.
And finally, Helen Allwright, Victoria Manford and Neil Harrington.
You can become a Cat's Whiskers Club member and have your birthday read out as well. All you have to do is write to us with your details to the Cat's Whiskers address. But do please be patient, because it does take a few weeks for your name to be put on the list. Now for our postcard competition, where I asked you to draw a scene from last week's episode of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And looking at some of these postcards, there are scenes of poor old Mr. Tumnus crying, the lion, Aslan, and that wicked white witch who's causing all the trouble. It was a hard choice to make, but I've chosen 10 winners. They're Victoria Pearson from Leeds, Helen Pimlott from Flixton, Manchester, Jane Bellamy from Cheshire, Helena Cullany from Redditch, Elizabeth Howell from Swindon, Wiltshire, Caroline Miller from London, Catherine Skegg from Winchester, Kate Ellis from Brailsford, Derbyshire, Elizabeth Mallett from West Sussex, and Bethany Tedder from Devon. Well done to you all. You'll be getting your Narnia maps and pencils shortly. And for those of you who didn't get your pictures chosen this week, don't put your crayons away, because you've got another chance to try again. Remember what happened to Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy? Well, if you can, then I want you to draw a scene from this week's episode, and it's postcards only. The address is Cat's Whiskers Summer Special, BBC PO Box 40, Manchester M601FR. That's all we have time for, I'm afraid. I hope you'll join me next week, along with Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy, for more fun while the cat's away. So until then, bye-bye.
And while the cat's away, the producer of the Cat's Whiskers summer special is Julia Brooke. Taking part in episode 7 of The Tales of Narnia was Maurice Denham as the professor. Other parts were played by Abigail Doherty, David Goodland, Neil Jeffrey, Polly March, Camilla Parr, and Henry Parr. The music for the serial was composed by Elizabeth Parker. Tales of Narnia, which has been dramatised in 10 parts by Brian Sibley, was produced by Jeff Marshall Taylor for BBC School Radio. And next week at the same time, the Cat's Whiskers summer special continues with part 8 of The Tales of Narnia.